opinions on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Once again, good morning. Today is March 16th, 2014. 2014. There you go. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. Is it 2014 or 2014? I guess you could go either way.
Whichever you prefer.
Yeah, it's kind of goes right into my joke. I had one joke today, and you know what the definition of a transvestite is? A guy who likes to eat, drink, and be merry.
Not quite what I expected, but we'll go with that.
Sorry.
Looks even funnier on paper.
Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. This is 1460 KCNR, and you can go to KCNR1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. We're streaming worldwide, and all of our shows are podcasted and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. I also have set up a website, Sovereign Minds, on Facebook, and so I highly recommend that if you are tired of the mainstream news and you want to actually get some news that actually news instead of just this dribble that's coming out of our media, not mentioning any names, Record Fleshlight. I mean, the guys.
Anyway. The
local guys. So anyway, I wanted to go with our first quote of the day. This comes from our guest book here. I thought it was very appropriate for what we're doing today. But I guess I should introduce everybody. My sister Linda's in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Bob Martin, our soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have our guest here, and I know I'm going to probably mess up his last name here. It's George DeFilippo?
Very close. DeFilippo.
DeFilippo. Okay, very good. Good, good. He's going to be talking about protect yourself from violence here. And this is a quote, and I'll let you guys try to guess who this is. The most foolish mistake we could possibly make would be to allow the subjugated people to carry arms. History shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subjected people subjugated people, I guess is how it's
put. I'm not looking.
So history shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subjected people to carry arms have prepared for their own fall. Now, do you know who said that?
I do, but
Adolf Hitler. So is that the reason that they want to take our guns and our arms so that we don't revolt? Anyway.
No.
Just a thought.
They wouldn't do that.
Just a thought. So let's see. What do we have? You got any veterans events?
Oh, we do. Coming up on March 18th from 10 to 12, we have Veterans Community Coffee with Congressman Doug LaMaffa at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street. Again, that's 10 to 12 on March 18th. And they will be going over all the issues that are facing the veterans in the North State. And then on March 27th through the 30th, we have the Vietnam Memorial Wall that will be at the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds in Yreka. So if nobody has seen that, it's an awesome thing to see. You could go up there and check that out. Again, that's March 27th through the 30th. And then also this month on the 29th, we have Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans at the Veterans Hall.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Just a few articles before we get here with our guest. First couple ones regarding gold and silver legal tender moves forward in Arizona. This was yesterday, and this is dated March 12th. And this comes from the 10th Amendment Center. Yesterday, an Arizona bill which would legalize gold and silver as legal tender cleared its first state House hurdle, and after passing the Senate last month on an 18-12 vote. Federalism and Fiscal Responsibility Committee recommended do pass by 6-2, and SB 1096 still needs to clear the Financial Institutions and Rules Committees before it moves on to the full House. So that ought to tell you that we're starting to head back towards that, because it's also in Oklahoma. This is breaking, and this comes again from Ben Swan, and this is dated March 11th. And Oklahoma, breaking news, the Oklahoma legislators passed bill legalizing gold and silver tender, nullifying the Fed. And that seems to be the scenario here, is that people are starting to realize, if you want to get out of this illegal counterfeiting scheme called the Federal Reserve, then you probably need to start using other money besides theirs, and at least introduce competing currencies. So So that I'll just show you that the states are moving that direction. Gold and silver coins issued by the United States government are legal tender in the state of Oklahoma. No person may compel another person to tender or accept gold or silver coins that are issued by the United States government, except as agreed upon by contract. If passed into law, Oklahoma can be the first state to recognize gold and silver as legal tender, and that's not true. It's actually Utah recognizes them. So anyway, there's a bunch of things going on in that arena that you should be aware of. What else have we got here? I had another one sitting here, and now I'm not seeing it for some reason.
Well, back to the gold and silver and the coins and stuff before you get there. Just to let people know out there that, you know, a lot of people say, well, how can I spend it? You know, how am I going to buy things with a silver coin or not?
Well, how can you buy things with a piece of paper? Right. You know, it's whether it's accepted or not is the question. And if you go back to the Constitution, gold and silver are the only things that are actually legal tender that can be put out by the state. So the reality is that it's just that we've been conditioned to think that paper is money, and paper is just paper, and it's supposed to represent money. So how can you pay for anything unless it's accepted by the public? And that's why legalizing it as tender shouldn't even be an issue here. It used to be that all of our money was backed, and you could go to any bank and actually exchange it for real money, which would be gold, silver, coins. And so, because the big reason is you can't counterfeit them. So people have been conditioned by the media and by the, you know,
They think that that paper money is, well, paper that we think is money is not. It's currency. It is not money.
That's right. Paper is poverty. It is only the ghost of money, Thomas Jefferson. And so that's what we're talking about, and that's why I always want to bring that stuff up. Let's see. Well, maybe we'll just go on to talk about our guest here and introduce him. And he has written a book here, Protect Yourself from Violence, Tactics, Tools, and Preparation. And George, how long has the book been out?
It's been out about a month and a half now.
Oh, very good, very good. And what, why did you write this? What was your big motivational factor?
Well, it's kind of interesting because my background, as far as employment goes, has been working as a school administrator. But for hobbies, I've been heavily involved with martial arts my whole life, and also with, competitive shooting. And what I observed is basically, people being not aware of what's going on around them, and becoming potential victims to violent crime. Things hit ahead when a couple of years ago, one of our family friends, one of my brother's best friends, we grew up together, lived next door, he was killed along with seven other people in Seal Beach at that salon where a person went in there to kill his wife and decided to kill
everybody else in there. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
So that reached ahead. That motivated me to move this project along. So anyway, that's pretty much why I wrote it.
Very good. Well, it seems like there's a lot of people that are saying this is pretty good stuff. We've got, I don't know whether these guys just read the book or whatever here, but we've got, our Scott R., a lot of good stuff in this book. Everyone should check it out. Homeschoolers, charter school, health teachers, community college teachers, and anyone else interested in the fundamentals of living safely in a changing world need to read this book. That's Don Archer, retired secondary school educator. Educator. You know, we got John Dee, the book Can Save Your Life. And, you know, so it looks like there's, you're getting a lot of accolades from your peers and people that have read the book, that this is a great book, and that's why I wanted to get you on the show. So with that, let's go to our first break, and then we'll come back and we'll really dive into the subject matter.
Great. All right, if you want to call in here, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Time to lock and load. Time to get control. Time to search for soul and start again. So many times I've seen chances disappear. I hesitate and watch them slip away. Like the time I failed to spend with the ones I love. And it's gone as sure as yesterday. All these users and fakers, big time takers, manipulating everyone they see. I get caught up in their schemes and their useless dreams. And the only one I have to blame is me.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
So, Chris, second Tuesday meets at Dry Creek Station, April 8th.
I'm going to get a drink at a place that's dry?
It's just the name of the restaurant. They have drinks and really good food like steak, seafood, and pasta.
Great. Please join us at Dry Creek Station Tuesday, April 8th for good food and good company as Dry Creek kindly donates a portion of their proceeds to Haven Humane Society, helping the animals.
You did that really well.
Why, thank you. You know, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
For the best roundup of the local high school and college sports scenes, plus in-depth discussion, tune into the NorCal Sports Show with Nate Abarea at 6 p.m. Tuesdays on KCNR 1460. Nate takes you right to the heart of NorCal action with interviews, analysis, and roundtable talks. Call in or tune in. You'll want to join Nate on Tuesday nights if sports are in your blood and the local scene is on your radar. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesdays, 6 p.m., Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Think that your GPS really knows the streets? Get an Avoid Ghetto equipped GPS and avoid the places you don't want to go and the people you don't ever want to meet.
And Reverend Sharpton, you're going to love this new GPS safety device we installed.
Yeah, I think safety is important pretty much.
Yeah.
GPS, take me to my home.
Safety alert. Robbery, arson. Avoid ghetto.
Wow, that's pretty accurate. GPS, take me to MSNBC.
Avoid ghetto.
But that's in a nice neighborhood.
Drive by journalism. Low IQ. Avoid ghetto.
GPS, just take me to my church.
Tax evasion. Bad credit rating. Avoid ghetto.
GPS, you are a racist.
Don't you be hating on me.
I'm gonna tell Jesse Jackson. is it about you?
That jive turkey ain't got no cred with me.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown, downtown, or Chinatown. An Avoid Ghetto-equipped GPS knows what's up.
Give me my keys back!
Avoid Ghetto, available at fine retailers outside the hood.
Yeah, you better all get your ghetto GPS out there because you might need it here pretty soon. Anyway, we're back here with our guest, and I just found out that he's actually a retired superintendent of schools for the Bella Vista district.
I retired in 2010 from Bella Vista and worked part-time running the Whitmore School District for 3 years after that.
Wow, nice. Yeah. Yeah,
Superintendent and principal.
I did both.
There you go. Okay, I think we have Terry on the line. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. How are you guys all doing?
We're doing good.
The fun never
very
stops.
Very good. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a couple of quick things. I'm really excited about this program, but on Tuesday, March the 4th, I was robbed, or I'll actually burglarized. And I called into RPD, Reading Police Department, at around 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was told at that time that our police officers were only responding to life-threatening situations. I'm going to say that one more time. Our police officers were only responding to life-threatening situations. The officer who came to my home, and I live in a fairly nice neighborhood, came to my home 4 hours later. Now, you can look at that and say, for 4 hours, we had no police department. We had no help from our peace officers. Even though we're supposed to be eyes and ears, there was no help at all. And I'd like a comment on that from George, what he thinks happening there.
I can't speak with any kind of expertise, but my feeling is our police departments are stretched out. We have so many issues that they have to deal with, and funding is decreasing. Overall, I wish we can have police respond to every situation as quick as possible, but, you know, it's just tough when we're underfunded.
Well, I think that we're really not, because I'm looking at all the pay scales right here in front of me, and the average police officer in Reading, if you include sergeants and captains, makes $159,000 a year in total compensation. Our chief alone makes more money than San Francisco, San Diego, and Sacramento police chiefs. Our average officer makes more than San Diego does. And if it really is a lack of police officers, last year we paid $2,347,503.21 in overtime, which means we could have hired 16 more officers for a total compensation package of $142,853.49. That could have been 16 more boots on the ground. I think it's more of a thing when these guys arrest somebody that they go into jail and within 2 hours they're sent out again, like the issue we had last Sunday night. So, and I think that's the deal. And according to Tom Basenko, there really isn't a limit on how these guys can go in and out. A guy could get out, in this guy's case, two times in one day.
So we should change our name to Bell instead of Reading? Is that what we're...
Well, you know, it is a little disturbing, but it really isn't the police officer's fault. I mean,
no.
If you're someone like our chief and you get offered a job, you're going to think your employer, who's offering your job, which is our staff on city council, Starman, those folks, once you offer someone a job, you're saying, here, this is your compensation. And gosh, you're an employee. You're going to say, heck yeah, that looks good to me. They have no idea of what else goes on other than the deal that they're offered. That's where the issue is. But stop and think about it. 16 extra police officers could be hired at $142,853.49, which is still more than the total compensation package for San Diego police officers when they start.
Well, and the argument has been that you got to pay these guys big bucks to get them up here because,
that's the only way you get good officers.
That's the only way you get good officers. But let me just expand on that a little bit. Do you think that Paletti would like to go back to Stockton right now? And even if he got paid more? You know, the real deal is this is a great community overall. And most of the other communities, you know, that are getting, you already said that they're getting paid less. They want out of there. I mean, this is a great community to live in, and so I think that you could actually cut their salaries to a big degree, and I'm not suggesting that we do that as much as I'm saying that they would probably take a cut just to be here in this community.
Well, that doesn't hold water, and not even the chief won't even, I mean, that doesn't hold water because of what you just said. If you can buy a home here for 25% of the price, you can buy a home in San Diego. Your cost of living is going to be at least half of what it is in San Diego, and you're living in an area that has less crime. you're right, Mark. It's insanity to think that. But again, you know, when you're offered a deal, you're offered a
right. The problem isn't the officers.
Then you know you're going to take what the boss offers you.
Okay, well listen, right. Let's get back to our guests here, because we want to stay on topic, but we appreciate the call, Terry.
Yep.
So let's start with the question. How bad is it, George? What do you think?
Well, I grew up in some really bad inner city areas. I was born in New York City. I lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant, one of the worst places in New York City, a really, really impoverished part of the city. And the violence was really bad. There was gun control and so forth, but that didn't stop the violence. Okay?
Yeah, that seems to be where most of the violence occurs, is in the gun control zones.
So anyway, you know, having lived in Chicago and lived in Cleveland and lived in Lawndale in Southern California, which was probably the best place of all the four places, my experience is that, you know, when I moved up here in the 70s, late 70s, and what I'm seeing now, Reading is becoming infiltrated by more and more of the type of people I try to leave behind and live a better life from. I mean, I didn't want to be around these people. I moved so that my family could be safer and we can have a more quality life. And I see things deteriorating. And from my understanding, it isn't a Reading problem per se. It's a problem everywhere in the country. I have relatives across the country. And what's happening is crime is spreading to the suburbs and it's spreading to rural areas.
Well, two things. The reason that I believe is that's happening is that if we got a couple of things. We're debasing our currency, which has a direct effect on the economy, which people don't realize. It starts the economy to do what we're doing. You have these big peaks and these big valleys, and we're going down into this huge valley. And we got to get back to some morality here, so that people, you know, but the people that are out there, you know, if they start going into poverty and then you put no morality on top of that.
When they start hurting, then they go to other resources.
Absolutely. So it has a compounding effect. So I totally believe what you're saying is true, George. It is starting to become a nationwide problem because of the economy starts triggering these other aspects of it. So, I think that, you know, we need to be understanding how to protect ourselves. And that's why we're having you on the show here.
Well, I appreciate that. I very much appreciate it. I looked at the question of how can you defend yourself and what does the average person need to defend themselves? And I realized that most people are oblivious to what's going on around them. And that's what's scary is we have a lot of people walking around that are potential victims because they're so involved with listening to their music or electronic device or having a conversation or whatever that they're not aware of what's going on around them. And basically they don't have situational awareness. And I have developed a basic model in my book on page 10. It's called the AAA survival concept. And the reason why it's called the AAA is because each of the three concepts begin with the letter A. The first thing is awareness. That's the most important thing you can do is be aware of your environment. And then avoiding things, that's avoidance. And then the last thing is being armed. And the reason why I put this together is I wanted to simplify so people can clearly understand what it takes to survive out there if you're aware. You can avoid most situations. Criminals look for easy victims. They don't look for someone that's aware of them and they're trying to...
Yeah, like you say, they're looking for the person that's on the device.
On the device or oblivious or they go old and feeble or weak or whatever it is.
Well, just vulnerable. Even unhardening and like I said in the chapter prior to that, the criminals don't see their victims as humans. They see their victims, you know, and we've got all the ways to justify, oh, they're rich and evil guys or, you know, or they're the haves and we have nothing or they've gotten all their stuff by stealing it. And so they dehumanize their victims so that they justify their actions, in the process. Process of committing the crime.
Absolutely correct. You're no longer a human being or a criminal. What their goal of whatever it is they want to accomplish and separate you from is justified by whatever means they can basically come up with. They got themselves in a mental condition so they can go off and do this thing that they know inside their hearts if they slowed down and thought about it was wrong, but they got themselves mentally off their in such a place that they feel justified in doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, and that's where the situational awareness comes in and hardening yourself up, whether at home, in public, in your car, whatever. When I say hardening up, I mean you gotta look ahead and see what's going on here so that you avoid the situation in the first place, so that you're not walking down, you know, a back street in the Oakland ghetto with $100 bills hanging out of your pockets. That's just probably not the best thing to do.
Well, the other part of the equation is a lot of people are thinking in a mindset that's I think past tense. They're thinking about how things used to be.
Right.
It, you know, it never happened to anybody in my family. It won't, it can never happen to me. It's always somebody else that's a victim, and they don't realize that times have changed.
Well, you know, yes. We've got what I call, normalcy bias. A lot of psychologists and guys that have studied this thing, you know, what happens is the people get so used to being in the past that as things start to change, they will completely overlook the present situation because of what happened in the past, because they might have to actually change their behavior.
Well, I think part of it also is beyond some people's ability to comprehend that something bad can happen to them or a member of their family. They just can't even go there mentally.
Yeah, they think that it will never happen to them. It always happens to somebody else.
Very good. With that, let's go to our break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more about
this. All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 605-4567. This is KCNR, Community Radio for the North State.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits.
Every time I hear that, I always think of young Frankenstein with the monster going, Ritz!
I actually think of my nephew. You know, one of my nephews. No names mentioned, but.
Anyway, we like to have fun here, even with these hard topics. So that was Taco putting on the Ritz. I got into the oldie stuff till this morning when I was listening to the We the People show. Anyway, we're back, and so let's talk a little bit more with George here about the awareness, avoidance, and the armed. So awareness is obviously key, because if you don't understand what's going on around you, you know, then you're probably not going to be prepared for it. But let's talk about avoidance a little bit. You know, how do we avoid these situations?
Well, first off, you need to be aware to be able to avoid things. If you're not seeing potential things around you, you could be a victim. If you're aware while you're walking through, you can avoid situations because you won't look like an easy victim. But there's also common sense situations. Why would you go, for example, and hang out at a nightclub where, you know, fights break out on a regular basis? You put yourself at a risk.
Right.
You know, there's things you can avoid. For another example would be, if there's somebody that comes up to you as a stranger and probably they have good intentions, not bad intentions, but you don't know that because you don't know that person's a stranger. And let them get too close can cause you grief.
Right. Like we were talking during the break about getting on an elevator. Mm-hmm. You know, especially being a female, if, you know, you're getting ready to get on the elevator and you get the feeling that maybe I shouldn't do this, but then the doors open and the guy looks okay and you think, oh, you know, no big deal. I'm only going a couple floors. I should be okay.
Yeah, you know, I don't want everybody to walk around being afraid. I mean, and I probably am susceptible to walking around a little bit overconfident more than anybody because of my size and so forth and my stature. So people tend to leave me alone. But, you know, my sister is not very big. So we don't want to walk around afraid, but we do want to walk around, you know, being aware of what's going on. And I noticed you have a code yellow, code orange, code red. Could you kind of explain that for
us? Yeah, the color code system, I didn't invent this. I just wrote a streamlined version of it. But this color code system is basically levels of consciousness. And if you train yourself, it takes about 30 days to develop a new habit. But if you spend about a month or so to get yourself in the habit of looking at the world a little bit differently, you can make yourself safer and it becomes automatic. There's four color codes. One is color code white, and that means you're oblivious. You're not aware of what's around you. You're engaged in a deep conversation. You're looking at your text messaging or whatever it is that's got your attention, but you're daydreaming, whatever it is. You're not aware of what's around you. You're extremely vulnerable to somebody doing something to you. The next code is the code green. And the code green basically is where you're in relaxed alertness. You're not paranoid. Yes. Get in the habit of just kind of scanning around, making sure everything's safe around you. And that's totally cool. And it doesn't take any more effort, and it can save your life. The next code is code orange. Code orange is where you detect or sense something is not quite right. You may not see it yet, but your instincts say something doesn't feel right, okay? Or you may see it. And then code red is where you're in imminent and unavoidable danger of being assaulted in a violent way. And it means you need to be ready to deal with it.
So do you think in terms of like, you know, I should be in a code green state or a code yellow state, or do you think it should be automatically that you just raise your awareness and your consciousness from out of white for sure in pretty much most situations?
You should be in code green all the time unless something causes you to become more alert. Because I had a situation Thursday of last week when I went on a hiking trail and there was nobody in front of me. And I always look over my shoulder every so many yards, and there was nobody behind me. And I go off, and it was kind of a remote, I was heading towards a pretty remote area with a lot of brush, and I look back one last time, I'm on a slope, and I look back, and there's a guy behind me about 50 feet. And I look at the guy, and he's clean cut. He's not one of these guys that's homeless, that maybe walking out there. He's not wearing hiking gear or riding a mountain bike or whatever. And I turn around, and he looks at me, and he says, "Oh, you're going out prospecting," because I was going to go looking for gold. And I said, "Yeah, if I'm lucky, I'll find a piece of gold. You know, you never know." And he turns around and walks away. There's no way I could not have seen him. He had been hiding in the brush.
Wow, that's kind of
okay.
That's kind of scary.
You know, I can really relate to this because as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, whether in guys in the service, being in combat, I'm sure could relate even more. But for me, hunting gets me in that state. If I'm out in the deep woods and I'm hunting, I mean, I'm on a full alert all the time, not because I'm afraid or of any danger, but because you got to be aware of what's going on around you in the woods.
You have to know your surroundings in order to get your...
Because not only is there things out there that you might be hunting, there's also things out there that might be hunting you. And so it's not a fear factor. It's just an elevated awareness factor, I think, is what you're looking for here.
Yeah. And one of the things that we become so civilized, a lot of people ignore their gut level feelings about things. Mm-hmm. You know, they sense something's not right. And like the elevator thing you just brought up, you know, there's reasons why we feel a certain way. But nowadays, we don't want to hurt that other person's feelings. We want to be polite. And that can get you in trouble. Right. What you need to do is not worry about being polite or impolite. What you need to be worried about is your security, your safety. And you just make decisions based upon that, not worried about offending somebody that you don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point because we've been kind of conditioned to get along, especially in school and a few other places, to get along with everybody. And that's not always a safe thing to think about, like you say, when depending on where you're at and what the conditions are around you. So it's definitely something to, and so by doing that, we're avoiding trouble is what that's
correct.
The biggest thing
correct.
To do here is just to avoid the trouble completely.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you can probably eliminate most of the situational problems that you could ever have where you can be a victim just by being aware and avoiding things. I'd say overwhelming majority of the things, 98% of them you can probably avoid just by being aware and staying away from things that you know better about or you have a feel about. Just stay away from those situations. But the other part of the equation is when you can't avoid.
So being prepared, walking softly and carrying a big stick.
And basically, that's what it comes down to. There are some people that aren't going to go any further than this, and if they get the awareness and the avoidance, they're going to be a lot safer, and if that's as far as they're willing to go, I'm happy with that. But for the rest of us, the majority of us, I would say, it doesn't matter what your political perspective is, it's your personal safety. And for the majority of people out there, they need to carry some kind of weapon or tool to make sure that nothing can happen to them. And the reason why I say that is because if they're going to go that far as a criminal is going to go that far as to mess with you, even though you're aware of them and you try to avoid it, you're probably going to have a situation that, is going to put you at high risk of injury or death. And so why put yourself in that position? So basically, I talk about, I have a whole unit, the whole section of my book on the different choices for what you can use as a weapon or a tool.
I was going to say with that situation, again, with me being a female, you know, if it's somebody like the size of my brother or even you come up to me, I am no match to them if they really want to do me harm. So I need to be aware of it and be able to at least have something in my tools that may be able to save my life or help me at least be able to get away from them.
Well, that's why back in the West, when they invented the Colt, they said it was the great equalizer because it puts Granny on the same footing as Hulk Hogan.
That's correct. You know, I've had a lifetime of martial arts. I've studied many types of martial arts. The last 20-plus years, I've done the Filipino martial art of Arnis. And that's a heavy weapon, sticks, knives, machetes, that kind of stuff. And I instruct in that. And I can handle myself, I think, pretty good, but I'm getting older and I'm not able to be as quick. And I'm still decent, but I'm not able to be as quick as I used to be. That's reality.
I'm as quick as I was at 20, I swear.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we all like to believe that.
Yeah. Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah, exactly.
And no matter if you're in your prime and you're really, really good, if that person has a firearm and you can't close the gap in time,
you're done.
World of hurts.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So that brings us into the next segment that we'll talk about. We're going to have to do a break and we'll do the last segment on being prepared. And you'll find, George, that this radio program goes by so fast, it's hard to get everything to talk about that we want on here. But it's really true that there's so many things that we can do to prepare. You know, you could write a book on it.
Hey, why did I think of that?
I guess with that, we'll go to a break and we'll pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
The Dan Fagan Show, where we tackle issues that matter to you and your family.
Molly Kaiser had her house broken into by a suspect released from jail just an hour prior.
And he actually broke into two houses the night before. It's terrifying and it's frustrating, and I'm going through so many emotions. I don't know how to keep myself safe at this point.
Catch and release of hardened criminals. Just one of the topics we tackle every weekday afternoon on the Dan Fagan Show.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530 605 4567.
Brought a bottle of coconut, bought a boo, a dime, your sister had, Lord, what she paid for a lot. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank a bowl up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank a bowl up. The lime in the coconut, she took a bowl up. Put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, is there nothing I could take? I said, Doctor, do we leave the belly yet? I said, Doctor, is there nothing I could take? I said,
put the lime in the coconut. Yeah, I like that song. Yeah, Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back. Listen, we're here with George I know I'm going to mess your name up here. DeFilippo?
Very close. DeFilippo.
DeFilippo, I'm sorry.
DeFilippo.
And he's got a book here that we've been going through, and it's called Protect Yourself from Violence, Tactics, Tools, and Preparation. And George will be at the tea party tomorrow night, and we'll do a breakout group for survival and preparedness, and he'll bring some of the books, and he'll give us a little demonstration. He's also very proficient in the art of jiu-jitsu and
Arnis.
Arnis. So that's the Filipino art of self-defense.
There's some jiu-jitsu in the Arnis, but I'm not a jiu-jitsu person. I want to clarify that. I'm an Arnis person, which is Filipino weapons.
I see. Oh, very good. Oh, very good. Do you guys do the nunchucks and stuff like that? I thought those were Filipino.
Pretty much, no. They might have been. I know that the Filipino introduced them, but basically it's in the Philippines. They use sticks that are straight. They use knives and they use machetes.
So like Enter the Dragon Bruce Lee stuff, man. Yeah, that one where he's got the two sticks, those are awesome.
Yeah, I think that really came from China.
Oh, well, you know.
We're trying.
Okay. While we're on that, though, when we were talking during the break, you did bring up about women. We were talking about what is offered for women, and you said you had a lady that specializes in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, Cheryl Hager is one of the highest belts, black belts in jiu-jitsu in the United States. And she puts on seminars periodically at our Reading Jiu-Jitsu Academy on Bocelli. And she does an excellent job because a woman training other women, it broaches the gap because a lot of women feel intimidated to show whatever or bring up whatever's on their mind with guys.
Right.
And the only time she uses a guy is somebody dressed up so that women can defend themselves against. But basically she does the instructing. She does an excellent job.
Very good. And people can get more information by going to protectyourselfromviolence.com. And that's protectyourselffromviolence.com. I'm not going to spell the whole thing out. But, you know, if you want more information, go to the tea party tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Bonnie View Baptist, and George will be there. He'll have some of his books and information. Yeah. And then, you know, you can get schooled on some of this stuff if you haven't been working on it already. And let's talk about some – we talked about guns and in the Great Equalizer, and I'm sure you have some suggestions on how that should work as far as guns. And then maybe we'll go into knives in the last segment of the show or whatever other type of weapon you think you should be carrying.
Well, I believe that having a firearm will basically stop most situations. You probably won't have to use it. They say that firearms are used 9 times out of 10 that they pulled out just as a deterrent without somebody having to fire a shot. I believe that to be the case because most criminals don't want to get hurt. They look for easy victims. But some people aren't not comfortable with a firearm. Many people live in areas where they can't carry a firearm.
Right.
And they say the majority of the men in the United States carry a pocket knife.
Right.
So I have a long chapter on knives and different types of knives and so forth. And there's pros and cons, and people need to learn the pros and cons of any type of weapon. So I go through the whole thing from whether it's knives, whether it's carrying some kind of a impact weapon, like a club or whatever, right, or getting the pepper spray or tasers or whatever, or just defending yourself with your empty hands.
I just want to tell all the criminals out there that just happen to be listening today, if I pull my gun out, I'm going to probably shoot you. So just so you know that we're not playing around when we get to that point. Cause, you know, that's the whole thing. Like you say, when you pull it out, George, 9 times out of 10, you can stop it. But I'll tell you, when most people that have been trained to pull out their guns in a violence or a crime situation, they're probably going to shoot you. So you guys ought to, be aware. There's a lot of people in the Shasta County that have concealed weapons permits. And I think that's a great thing. And we need more of them. And, because we need to stop this crime wave that's been going on.
But again, like you said, George, if you become aware of your surroundings,
you can avoid it. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, and there's you can 9 times out of 10 avoid it because they know that you're watching them, that you are alert, that you are paying attention.
Not only that, I think you get an air of confidence, knowing that you have some protection.
That's true.
And
yes,
the training that you go through in order to get a CCW or a permit is the most important thing as well, or whether with George is what he's saying. The more training you get, the more you're going to recognize these situations, the more you're going to avoid them, and the safer you're going to be. Just because you have a weapon or a permit doesn't give you a license to go out and shoot somebody. You know, that's a very huge responsibility, and you better take it seriously, and the training will help you know when to recognize those situations to avoid them.
Well, that's a good point. I bring up in my book that you want to avoid a situation because you don't want to have to spend huge amounts of money and time in a court of law and maybe found guilty of something that you didn't really do wrong.
Well, and you could be totally right. And you know, the old saying is I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. But at the same time, avoiding it is probably the biggest key because nobody wants to kill anybody out there. And even if you're in the right, you're going to probably have to go get an attorney.
That's correct. And even if you found innocent, which you probably would be because you'd be a responsible person not wanting to hurt somebody and you're forced to use a weapon to defend yourself, you still have to live with the fact that you had to do that to another human being.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
something most people don't want to do.
Yeah, nobody wants to live with that. Nobody wants it to happen. That's exactly right. Because, who knows, if you have to defend yourself, somebody, you don't know what's going on in that other person's life. They might be desperate. Who knows what's going on. So it's just best to avoid it and let
correct
the police handle it.
Correct.
Yeah. So with that, what else can we talk about
well,
here?
Well, towards the back of my book is a couple of things that I think are of interest. One is an article. It's a reprint of an article from Black Belt Magazine. It's actually the editorial by the main person person with Black Belt Magazine, the executive editor, Robert W. Young. And he goes into the article is called Why So Many Martial Artists Oppose More Control. And he goes into the whole history of gun control in this country and shows that it has had no effect upon reducing crime.
Yeah,
so all these
right
things have been phony things that, politicians want to look like they're doing something. And then there's actually probably some people out there that have ultimate goals that are different than just trying to look like they're doing something.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think the gloves are coming off in this area. If anybody doesn't think that the federal government and the Obama administration, in my opinion, is not trying to sink this country and get it under direct control of the federal government, I don't think they're paying attention. Mao said it wasn't about controlling the guns. It was about controlling the people.
I think one of the things about martial artists that they need to wake up about is what's brought up in this article is basically first, guns were outlawed in some countries like England, and then you couldn't even carry a pocket knife. And now they, about a year and a half ago, they stopped a guy named Tim Larkin, an American, from going
right
into the country because they felt that he was going to teach a form of unarmed self-defense not conducive to public good. So how far down the slippery slope are we going when you can't defend yourself or learn how to defend yourself with your hands and feet?
Well, and that should be a basic natural right that everybody should acknowledge, is that you have the right to self-defense. You have the right to protect your own person, property, papers, possessions. I mean, that's in the Constitution, but it's just a fundamental right that if you lose the right to defend yourself, good grief. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, you go back to, like we talked about it earlier about ancient China. I mean, that was one of the big things about the rise of the Shaolin Temple because, you know, they basically confiscated everybody's weapons and it was hand to hand except for you're usually fighting people that had a weapon because they were criminals and you didn't because you were illegal.
That is correct. And the priests, the monks and priests in China had to learn how to defend themselves because when they traveled to teach people about their religious philosophies, they would be attacked by bandits. So they had to learn how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up about towards the back of the book is I put in a self-evaluation. It's not for anybody to read but yourself. It's called How Do You Rate Being Safe? And it gets into all four categories that I'm trying to get across in the book so you can rate yourself and find out where you need to improve your safety.
Self-evaluation. That's very good.
And yeah. It's a point system, and when you get done, you can see how you scored. There's a rating system at the back. And some people in my family have been shocked by how well they actually have scored. Okay? You may think that you're okay until you realize that you're not okay.
Right.
And some people that are very, very good can still fine-tune themselves and make themselves better.
Well, and you want to find that out prior to anything happening because you don't want to find out that you're lacking in your self-defense when you're in the situation where you don't have a choice but to try to defend yourself.
And you might want to do a buddy system. I know my sister-in-law and me do a buddy system kind of when we're out and about our purses and about, you know, making sure things are in certain areas and stuff. And so you may want to buddy up with a good friend and have them watch and see how you're doing and help rate you on that.
Absolutely. Anytime you can get feedback from people that you can trust, that feedback is invaluable as far as being able to show how you can improve your security and safety. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, with that, maybe we should talk a little bit about hardening up the home. We got about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes here. I'm not sure how long. But hardening up the home and preventing these things like the car, you know, what should you do in your home to maybe harden it up so that you're protecting yourself?
Yeah. With the home, I recommend first and foremost, if you're able to and live in a city, to get an alarm system.
Right.
If you can't afford an alarm system, then they have those magnetic what they call squealers, or
yeah, where you put them in the door.
It has a magnetic contact. You put them by doorways or windows, and if somebody opens it up, it puts off this loud, really penetrating sound, and you're warned. It basically what you have is a warning system, and so you can react without being caught off guard.
Yeah, you know, the best alarm system I got is my dog, and I'll tell you what. If you know how to train a dog even halfway, the first thing you understand about your dog is you never smack them around or punish them when they're barking. And so my dog, without fail, barks at everything.
She does.
And what's interesting is that she's a really smart dog. You can tell when she's barking whether somebody's coming up the driveway or somebody's behind the fence or somebody's up on the railroad tracks just by the sound of her bark. Or it's really interesting that if you follow it. So I can usually tell if there's something serious because she gets very serious when there's somebody in the yard, for example, as opposed to somebody walking by the driveway.
Yeah. Dogs are the next best thing. Okay, dogs are the next best thing, and if you pay attention to your dog, you'll hear that they have different kinds of barks, and you could tell when it's a serious concern of your dog. So, you know, those two things are warning systems, and if you have a big enough dog, not only could it be a warning you, but it also could help protect you.
Well, I got a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention any names, who has a couple of dogs that are so, I forget what breed they are, but they're like the bull mastiffs, only bigger, and they're this brindle. And I'm not kidding. These dogs, it's like a foot between the eyes on these guys. When you walk up to, I'm not even exaggerating here. When you walk up to them, they're almost up to my chest at head high, and they're big friend. They're like big puppies almost. But I'd hate to be in the yard at night because they turn into a whole different breed of friendly.
Well, yeah, some of them are trained that they're okay to let you in. It's when you want to leave.
Yeah, it's when you have
problems.
And there's two of them, and it's they're very intimidating, and I'm not necessarily suggesting those, but yeah, you can get some dogs that will protect you.
And briefly, securing your house, making sure you lock things up and that you don't open the door for strangers and so forth is another really good thing to do. I'm going to shift gears a little bit and go about vehicles.
Okay.
And basically, there's two things I think people need to do. I think that you need to look in your vehicle and make sure no one's there first, and then get inside your vehicle and lock the doors first thing.
Right.
So many people don't lock the doors first thing. And second thing, start your engine of your vehicle
and look around before you even get in, so you see where you're
be
at.
Aware of
we're out of time here, so we'd like to thank our guest George and
thank you for coming in, and he'll be at the Reading Tea Party tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Okay, very good. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Thank you. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
And thank you, Mark, Linda, and George. Don Shulman is next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. They are voting today on secession from Ukraine in Crimea, where most residents are ethnic Russians, and expected to decide in favor of a split. But Andrew Foxall of Britain's Russian Study Center says the vote is a sham.
It's certainly, I don't think, what the Crimean people would want were it not for the fact that this vote is taking place under effectively a military occupation. We know that sociological polls conducted prior to the crisis, if you will, that no region in Ukraine wanted to join Russia.
He spoke to Sky News. The West and the new Kiev government say they don't recognize this vote, which could lead to sanctions on Russia for its involvement. India says its navy and air search operations for the missing Malaysia airliner are on hold until the Malaysian government identifies fresh search areas.
A spokesman for India's Tri-Services Command says...